Be seated. It's no stranger.
Well, I've grown to love him over the years. And I want y'all to make him welcome at our first meeting at the Chapman of the Lord.
I would gladly receive that applause if I had done something. But we know who deserves it all. Amen. Give your Bibles in the book of Galatians chapter 6. And verse 14, Galatians chapter 6, 14. I'll be the judge of that if I'm old or not. How about now? I'm still not on. It's the green. Is it on? I pushed it forward. It's okay. It's just something. There it is. There it is, brother. You just have to get the fellow on the right knob back there. You're not back there. He is. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. My. Nothing greater than the presence of God. This is, as the old songwriter said, just a foretaste of glory divine. Get ready to eat something, said, just taste this. Taste it. I've tasted a lot of things. Some of them I didn't want. But I've never had a foretaste of heaven that I didn't want more of. Something about the presence of God that meets the need of the human heart. And there's nothing like Him. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. Just that one verse. I want to look at it this morning right quickly. The Apostle Paul says here, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Now, Paul, you have to understand that Paul was a type A personality. Paul was first. He's the straight A student. He was the quarterback on the football team. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But one day, he ran into the cross. The Savior that died there. And Paul in chapter 3 of Philippians becomes an accountant, which changes his value system totally. Oh, he said, "I know I used to be a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And I used to be a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I used to be a persecutor of all the persecutors."
Yeah. Amen.
But all of a sudden, since Calvary, my value system has changed.
Yes,
and those things I thought were gain to me. Now, if I could glory, just let me tell you what I could glory in. That's what he said. I'd be a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I'd be a leader in my school. I'd be one that everybody, the attention would be on me because I was the best of all that I was. But today it's different. And Paul found out, when he got to Calvary and he met Jesus, that he was also in that category first in his class. He said, "For I am a chief of sinners." So Paul changes his entire value system and he becomes an accountant that assesses the value, the real value of things that you cannot see and things that you can't see.
That's right.
He said, "Before I thought I was really doing well and going ahead. But," he said, "I just want you to know, since Calvary, God forbid that I should glory, boast in anything." "You mean, Paul, God called you to be a preacher?" Yeah.
Come on.
You mean, Paul, God called you to suffer?
Come on.
Yes. For His sake. For He would see in the message, the first message He gets by way of the man who came to lay hands on Him, how many things He must suffer for the kingdom of God's sake. And He got into this thing not with bells and whistles. He got into this thing looking and staring at a cross and suffering. But this morning, for just a minute, I want us to look at the cross. The cross points in three directions. Number one, it points up to the origin of the cross. Who in the world would have ever thought of a plan like that? Surely, we could have got the majority of people to vote Jesus in to be the Savior. But in the eternal purposes of God, way back in the eons of eternity past, before God ever made man, He hatched a plan. And as He looked forward, foreknowing all things that was going to happen, He put in His toolbox to build a plan of salvation only the things that He needed. When I left my home, I had several things in my car that I didn't need on the trip, but I took them just in case. Some of you who can buy new tires all the time have never used your jack and your spare. But you still drive up and down the highway with it. That's extra because you don't know what's going to happen, so you got to take extra. But an eternal God who operates in a sphere all of His own calls worlds into existence. God who walks upon the wings of the wind and hath His way in the whirlwind and the storm and the clouds of the dust of His feet. We're talking about a God who knows all and can do all. Them Boy Scouts did not come up with the first "be prepared." In the history of the cross, the mystery of the cross and the victory of the cross. Number one, in the mystery of the cross, in the history of the cross, as it points back toward Him, God has hatched a plan. And it's slow, maybe He can't even hardly wait for man to be created so He can put His plan into action. For you see, Adam and Eve, all they really knew about God in their innocent state was His power to create. And His wisdom He used to create with. That's all they knew about Him. But yet locked up in the heart of God was mercy and forgiveness and love and grace. So the devil, endeavoring to tamper with God's perfect creation, opened up a Pandora box, woke a sleeping giant that reached out into the heart of God and brought forth from that eternal being love, mercy, forgiveness. Would have never known that had not sin entered this world. I'm not saying thank God for sin. I'm saying, women, I wish you'd left that fruit alone. But if the women hadn't done it, the men would have. Amen. Eventually, somebody would have got that apple if that's what it was. Ain't no need to believe, make believe that you and I would still be in a perfect state this far down the road. Amen. Somebody would have messed it up. But since God knew that it was messed up and going to be messed up because He foreknew. You see, He was prepared. I want you to understand that before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Have you ever thought about that? Well, why would you slay in God before the foundation of the world? There's not even a world for man to be in. But yet, God, you said He'd be slain before the foundation of the world. Why? Because in the mind and heart of God, He was already dead. He had already died. He was already crucified. Man was going to be redeemed back to God. And God had an eternal plan He wanted to put into action. And He was prepared before there was ever a sinner. There was a Savior. Oh, my. The devil became the instrument of his own eternal destruction. Through the devil's lie. Listen to me. Through the devil's lie, God revealed more of His truth. So now in the view of wandering worlds, God would display His eternal power and Godhead. And in the centuries and in the eons of eternity future, you and I would stand on heaven's shore and praise and worship and adore the Lamb of Almighty God. I'm like that old black preacher when he was preaching along. He was preaching for us one time. He said, I wish I could say that. I wish I could say that. And that's the way I feel about this message. I wish I could say it. But before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. You see, you and I say, God said, don't say you're going to do this and do that. You say, Lord willing, we're going to do this or that. Why? Because what you plan on may never come to pass. But God, when He declared it, nothing in heaven nor hell. He had the power to step through hell and walk all over demons and march to Calvary and accomplish the plan that He had foreordained. Oh, before there was a sinner, there was a Savior. Then I want you to notice that before there was a lamb, He was a lamb spoken of, He was a lamb sent, He was a lamb slain. Before there was guilt, there was grace. Adam and Eve, what happened? The first time you hear human conscience activated is in the garden. They knew, they saw that they were naked and they were ashamed. Man ever since has tried to do something of his own whereby he could cover his spiritual nakedness before a holy God. Religion says if you'll get baptized, religion said if you'll join our church and our church only, religion said if you'll do the best you can. What are you doing? Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together. And they tried to cover themselves because they were naked. And the reason they sewed fig leaves together was the reality that they were naked. They were unclothed before a holy God. And they were ashamed. But before there was any guilt, there was grace. Grace being unmerited favor. Grace looking down, judgment looking down upon a human race that was condemned to an eternal hell and would have been God on the throne and been forever praised had He let humankind go to an eternal hell. Let them go on their sins. But He reached down to an impossible situation to us who were blind and could not find the way. To us who were deaf and could not hear the word. For for us that were dead and could not raise ourselves. God came in our behalf. When He stepped forth in that garden and said, Adam, where art thou? That tells us two things. That tells us that Adam was lost and that God was seeking. Oh, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm so glad that He even saves people in Louisiana. I mean in South Louisiana even. Where Interstate 10 is the dividing line between North and South. And He looked down on the muddy banks of the Atchafalaya River. God said, I want to save you. Raised in church, never born of the Spirit of God, baptized and joined the church, went in a wet center, came up a wet center, and never could get any victory over sin. But God, in His mercy, kept me alive, protected me, so that I could hear the gospel with my spiritual ears. And one day I would respond to the grace of God. God is holy. We're sinners. God's holiness condemns us to an eternal hell. That's what we deserve. But thank God, He did not come to give us what we deserve. Oh, that woman that they call in the very act of adultery. They said Moses in the law says she should be stoned. Jesus never refuted that. He never argued with them about it. He didn't say, no, that's not what it says, because that is exactly what it said, that if she was caught in adultery, she should be stoned. But here is grace in progress, and that is that He did not come to give her what she deserved. He had come to give her what she did not deserve. Woo! You think you're something, you got saved. No, I know I'm nothing. That's what makes me proud to be saved. Why, there was more, there was guilt. There was already grace. Talking about the origin of the cross, the history of the cross. Before there was ever punishment, the punishment of death, there was the promise of life. Whew. Before there was hell, there was heaven. What a God. Oh, to think that our God moved toward us. When we were going away from Him, He was moving toward us. While He was headed up Calvary's Hill, you and I were going astray as sheep without a shepherd. Oh my, only eternity and only a full revelation of what God has done will cause us to appreciate the grace of God. That's why in heaven God has promised us rewards. But in heaven when we see Him, and it's revealed to us because it is the presence of God that makes spiritual things reality to the heart. That's why you can't have a cold, dead religion without the power of God operating in a church. But there and then, when we come in full revelation of what He's brought us from and where we are now, they will try to hand us some rewards. In being so awestruck with the One who has given everything for us, who left the portals of glory, came down to the cesspool of life, we will grab that reward and say, I don't want this. I don't deserve this. He deserves it. We'll take and cast our crowns at His feet because He is the only worthy one. The history of the cross. Then I want you to notice right quickly, it points outward. That's the mystery of the cross. For God so loved the world. Do you remember where He told the apostles the gospel was to be preached to the Jew first? Here's the cross. Get them Jews in. Preach the gospel to them. They're my people. Reach out, cross. But there's just one side. The King has made a feast. Calvary has settled it all. And He sent His servants forth to gather that His house might be full. And all of them begin to make excuse that they could not come. Come on, Jew. Come on, Jew. Come to Christ. Come on. This is your time. This is your day. You can come now and be born of the Spirit of God. The servants came back and said, they refused. They don't want to come. And that king said, who was mad, said, go into the highways and hedges. Gather up the lame, the maimed, the halt, the blind, and get them into my house, that my house may be full. You and I, outside the commonwealth of Israel, outside the promises of God, God cut a hole in the fence and let us in. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world, the whole world, red, yellow, black, or white. They are precious in His sight. Oh, thank God for the left arm of the cross. Just open it up. The little kids have a little saying, how much does Jesus love you? He put out both hands and He died. This much. Thank God. He came down to a South Louisiana town. That left arm reached around this lost boy. Revealed the gospel to him, brought him to Christ. He said, will you go with this man? I said, I believe I will. 47 years almost now, I've been a-walking with him. Had it not been for the left hand of the cross, we'd still be watching the Jew prosper. And the Jews saved. You and I was left out of the promises of God. But because of mercy. Because of His grace. He said, I want you Jews to understand. I'm reaching out with my right arm. But my son will not die in vain. My son. Death on the cross counts, and it will profit somebody. And He opened up the doors and said, whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. They wouldn't, but you can. Now the whole world, Jew and Gentile, can come. The mystery of the cross. Don't make no sense. Why would God want us? You think you're important, don't you? But you ain't important. I ain't important. You are nothing. I am nothing. I am just a speck if I count for anything. In the eons of eternity, I'm just a speck. And Almighty God in the counsels of His will, decided He would set in action a plan that would redeem fallen man before he ever fell. I don't know about you. You say, preacher, how do we pay it back? We can't. We just fall down and worship Him. We just fall down and praise Him. We just thank Him and glorify Him and point people to Him, because He's the only one worthy of the teaching and glory. Then right quickly, we looked at the history of the cross and the mystery of the cross. Well, I'm so glad that I go to the Philippines and see the little Filipino people over there. And I meet them for the first time in my life, but there's such a kindred spirit there. Such a sweet spirit, though I'm 9 foot tall and they're two. I mean, the last time I was there, I realized, Doyle, you must look like a stinking giant in front of these people. Little bit, but boy, just a sweet spirit. Sweet spirit. I preach for black preachers in black churches, and that old brother get up and hug my neck, and I'd hug his because we were one in spirit. He got up the first night when I preached my first black revival, and he said, now, if anybody in this congregation has a sin of the skin, you better get up here and repent. Woo! I said, I don't got one. Because of the mystery of the gospel. That He would let a bunch of Gentile dogs fall before the majesty of the One who is holy, holy, holy. Who has created cherubims and seraphims to protect and guard the glory of God. He would let us peons bow and be in the presence of such excellency and such majesty. Oh, I don't know about you, but this whole thing about Christ, serving Christ, is not trying to earn something. It is in gratitude of what He's already done for me. Woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel. I present you, brother, that you present your bodies. I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. What? Because it's your only reasonable thing you can do. All you've got left is you. But you can give it to Him. Put it on that altar and make it acceptable unto God. Let the fire come down, the Holy Spirit, and consume you. And God will use you wherever you are. Then notice He points down to the earth. And that's the victory of the gospel. They buried Him in a sin cursed. They buried that cross in a sin cursed earth. And Adam had been taken from that earth. And along with creation, Adam fell, but along with Adam fell creation also. For He said it groans and it waits for its deliverance from the curse, even creation. So by planting it in a cursed earth, the blood that trickled down and dribbled down from the cross ran down and touched a sin curse. The only thing that can remove the curse of God off of curses is the blood of Christ. We were cursed by sin. But Jesus, God's holiness said, they must die. Y'all must die. We must die. Judgment said they must die. And Jesus said, Father, could I die for them? would you punish me for them? Would you put the sin of the whole world on me? Would you cause me to become sin that we through him might become the righteousness of God? He became our substitute. And today, as a born again child of God, I do not have to live, some do, but I do not have to live under the dictates and the demands of Satan or sin. I do not. I am freed from the curse. I am freed from the domination. I am freed from the slavery of sin. Freed because no man can serve two masters. I am freed from this. And I can serve here. Free. 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 The cross. Paul said I wouldn't brag about anything except the cross. Let me just read something to you right quickly. On a hill, far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. In the old rugged cross stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach I'll gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. Give Him a hand. Give Him a praise. That's our Savior. That's our Savior. Let's praise Him again. The history, the mystery, and the victory of the cross. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Where is it that it says? And when I get there, I'll lay this old cross down and trade it for a crown. Oh, the disappointments that preachers, pastors, and evangelists see through the years. 49, 46 years of being beat up one side and down the other, rejected and torn apart by gossip. And made fun of and made shame of. Every time Sister Epinetta had to pick up that cross and die to what I wanted to say and what I wanted to do. Die to defending myself and let Him become my defender. And when the whole world is convinced that what you've done is wrong and you shouldn't have done it when you didn't even do it, you can stand firm and keep the flesh dead till the Spirit of God comes through in deliverance. One day, I'm going to trade this old cross I've had to embrace for 46 years and die. I'm going to trade it one day for a crown. Let's stand.